Good morning. Let's see, this is July 31st, Sunday, about 2 o'clock. I originally started this at 11:30. However, since I had the classes here in North Carolina, I had moved my microphone over to the laptop and made changes to it, and discovered when I came back over here to the desktop that it wasn't working. So I had to fiddle with it for a couple hours, and then finally I decided, okay, that does it. I know it worked with this operating system, so I restored an operating system I had a couple of months ago, and I plugged in the microphone, and after a little bit of work, yes, it did recognize it, and now all is well. So I'm going to leave that on here for recording these talks, and then I don't have to do all that 2 hours worth of work every week. All right, so... You know, when I gave the classes in North Carolina, I had intended on finishing the class the way I did in California, by going to my journal here, which I keep, and reading some of the realizations that I've had over the years. Now, I can look at this, and it starts... Well, first of all, it starts on March 18th of 1998, and it goes all the way to May 19th of 2016. But if I squeeze that together, it's less than a half an inch. It looks, by my eyes, it looks to be about 5/8, just over a quarter of an inch. And that covers 18 years. 18 years. Or is it longer? Let's see. No, 98, 2008. Yeah, 18 years. So almost 20 years of realizations covers only just barely over a quarter of an inch. So you see, they don't come along every single day, do they? Well, I mean, they do come along to a certain extent, but the major realizations, the ones that really rock me, or that were delivered in the middle of the night, which I get a lot, I make a note of. I put them in this book. Now, these realizations that I am going to share with you, these are very precious to me. Very precious. These, to me, are the pearls of great price. And so I don't share them lightly. And I don't want you to take them lightly. Anyway, I wanted to read these, some of these, because when we gave our talks in California in 2009, we finished up with by sharing some of these realizations. And I thought, well, I'll do the same thing here in North Carolina. I will share what has come since we last read these. So, looking in here, I decided I would start in the year 2009, because probably some of these I hadn't yet written when we gave the class in 2009. And so I brought it and I put it on the bottom of the stack as the last thing to do to the class on Sunday morning. And Sunday morning came, and we gave a class, and it was, oh, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. And I probably should have called for a break, but for some reason, the memory of this journal totally left my mind. I mean, it left my mind completely. And I even had a note. I had written a note to refer to the journal. And I obviously must not have looked at the note. But my lips said, and that's it. And everyone clapped, and the class was over. And then I got back to my room, and I thought, what in the... What? I didn't even read the first entry. So, this talk is going to be, and if there's another one, is going to be on some of these realizations that I've had since 2009. So we'll start with 2009. And the first one, it was in April, and it says, you do not have to heal an appearance. you have to see through an appearance to reality. And here's the beautiful realization. Awareness of is dissolves appearance, and harmony is revealed. Yes, we have got to get that into our thick skulls, and I'm one that has a thick skull. We have to get that into our being so it becomes as natural as breathing or looking. We have to get it so natural to see that there's nothing to heal. Yes, I see this appearance. It's an ugly appearance. It's an ugly cancer. It's an ugly headache. It's an ugly appearance of lack and limitation. It's an ugly appearance of age. I see it. My eyes see it. I'm not going to deny that I see it and pretend and walk around saying, "You're perfect. You're the child of God," while I'm looking at a decrepit old person. No. I'm not going to do anything about what I'm seeing there. That image presented to me is an image of world thought, thoughts about a world that God did not create. And there are millions of them, and I see them every day. And my job is not to fix them. My job is not to make an old person young, a sick person well, a person in poverty one of wealth and affluence. Because that's working in the opposites. Anytime you find that you are making any effort to change one thing into its opposite, you're lost. You're working on the level of the problem. And Joel has tried to teach us the answer is not in the problem. You cannot work on the level of the problem. It doesn't mean you don't see the problem. It doesn't mean you pretend that you don't see the problem. There are so many people I hear and see and read that are pretending that they don't see the problem. It's the same as denying that it's there. It's the same thing as having a headache and saying to yourself, "I don't have a headache. I don't have a headache. It's not real. It's not real. Only God is here. Only God." It's all of that's on the mental level, and it's trying to change an appearance. You don't want to change an appearance. You don't want to heal an appearance. No, you have to see through it to reality. And when you see through it to reality, reality fills your consciousness. And we don't know where the darkness goes. You turn on the light in the middle of the night, where does it go? I don't know any more than you do. I suppose some physicist could explain it, but all we know is that the darkness disappears. When you see through the ugly appearance to reality and rest in that realization, in that awareness, the darkness disappears. The appearance disappears. You haven't worked on it. And so awareness of is dissolves appearance, and harmony is revealed. Now, the harmony was already there, but you were seeing through a glass darkly, just as if somebody put a pair of very dark sunglasses on you, and you were trying to see, and you could hardly see because they were so thick and dark. And maybe it's even evening, and you can't see anything. It doesn't mean it's not there. It doesn't mean the harmony isn't there. It means you're seeing through a glass darkly. And that's where the appearance is, in the sunglasses, which are world thoughts, which you are seeing within your mind's eye. You see that? So, you don't want to fix something you're seeing in your mind's eye. You want to get out of that mind and stand still until awareness floods you, until awareness dawns upon you, like the morning dawn, the morning sun. It dawns on you. Then that awareness reveals the harmony of is. It's so different from what we've been taught our entire lives. You know, I have some degrees in counseling, and I worked at it, and I worked hard at it, and I became a fairly good therapist. I would take people and have them relive their painful moments, walk through them, and help them to heal. But then after I began to see this, I began to hear Jesus Christ say things like, "Go your way, your son lives." And he didn't even ever have to talk to him. I began to see that maybe there was another level. Not that therapy's wrong. No, there's a lot of people getting help from it. But there's a higher level, or a different level, or a sideways level, if you want, or an inner level, a deeper level. There's another level to heal. And that's what we're talking about. There's nothing wrong with the other. But if you're really, really practicing that, then you probably don't want to practice this, because the two are going to conflict. At least that's what happened to me. So, again in April 12th of 2009, the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is your identity. Think about that. That's a wowzer. These are things that come to me after working on a principle for several weeks or several days, even several months, sitting down for a meditation, and then this inner realization comes and I have to come write it down real quick. Or in the middle of the night, I'm awakened or given a dream first and then awakened, and I write that down. So there are things that come from the depths of my withinness. They're not something I read in one of Joel's books. They're not something I read in one of Walter C. Lanyon's books or Emmett Fox's book. No, they're not something I heard on a Herb tape or a Herb CD or a Joel talk or a Doris talk or Alan talk or Virginia talk. No, these are truths that have come to me from within my own being. And that's the only truth, incidentally, that's true. The truth that comes within your being is the only truth that should be true for you. You may hear it also come out of someone else's lips, but first, for it to be your truth, it must come to you from within. So, this one here, the kingdom of God is not a place. How many, since I was 3 feet tall, they taught me that if I'm really good and I try my best to behave, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to mess up a whole bunch of times. However, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, he sacrificed himself, or God sacrificed his son, in order to pay for my mistakes, for my messing up. So, as long as I accept him as the only son, the only son of God, and I accept him as doing that for me, saving me, and thank him, cry about it, or something, and feel that release, then I am accepted. I'm an adopted son of God, and I'm going to go to heaven someday when I become old enough to drop this body and pass out of visible existence into the invisible. I'm going to rise up there somewhere beyond the stars into heaven. And that is so ingrained in me, and I didn't even attend church very much because I didn't like it, but it's still so ingrained in me that often when I think of heaven, I immediately think of that place someplace. But yet right here, my own inner Christ says the kingdom of God is not a place. What is kingdom? Kingdom means the realm, the dimension. Okay, the place where God moves, the realm of God, is not a place. The realm of God is your identity. Think about that. Your identity is the kingdom of God. You are the kingdom in your reality, not in your humanhood. I find that I'm amazed as I look through this book. For instance, I'm looking at 2008, and there's several, 1998, and there's several entries. I look at 1997, and there's several entries. 1995 only gets one or two, and some get none at all. There's years in here that nothing happened. Now, again, April 15th, 2009, the bread you cast on the waters is not what you do out here. That's what we always thought, wasn't it? The bread I cast on the waters is the bread, the good deeds I do out here. There's some other kind of bread to cast on the waters. How very interesting. Now, we're taught that the bread we cast on the waters comes back to us, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. So we immediately go volunteer at a soup kitchen or something to cast that bread out there, right? We donate money to some spiritual movement. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good on that level. However, there's another level. There's another area of consciousness. So, the bread you cast on the waters is not what you do out here. The bread you cast on the waters is your inner spiritual discernment of a principle. That inner spiritual discernment is cast forth into consciousness and then manifests. The word is made flesh. Do you see that? Aha! Aha! How different is that? How different is that? There's an inner realm, a kingdom, where these principles apply. And if you live there, you begin to receive them, see them, realize them. And so the bread you cast on the waters is not what you do out here. It's your inner spiritual discernment of a principle. Because when you have the awareness flows forth into consciousness and then appears as the word made flesh. The awareness is the word, and it takes flesh. Your realization is the word, and then it takes flesh. That's the bread you cast on the waters. Every realization you have, every inner realization, is a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, cast forth. It's the bread you cast forth into consciousness which takes form. Ha! That's a different way to see it, isn't it? Well, at least it was for me. Maybe you've seen it all along. Well, we're not through with 2009 yet, so let's continue. May 2nd, 2009. The belief in good and evil is the glass darkly, which covers the awareness of invisible eye. Well, we can see that. We just talked about that. You're standing in the midst of your own consciousness. You see, you're not in your body. Your body is in you. So you're standing in your own consciousness. You're standing in I, but you don't see it. You're not aware of it. Because of this belief in two, me and you, me and God, God and the devil, good and evil, wealthy, unwealthy, or lacking, limited, sick and well, rich and poor, old and young, male and female, this is the glass darkly, all of this, and it covers your awareness. You cannot see through that glass darkly. You haven't found out how, and so you're staring through it, and everything you see is colored by it. If you see a lonely person, or a person with a lot of friends, a sick person, or a well person, a poor person or a rich person. In fact, if you see a person of any kind, you are focused on the glass darkly, and you yourself cannot lift yourself into awareness. You can't do it with your mind. Your mind is the glass darkly, your human mind. So, the belief in good and evil is the glass darkly which covers the awareness of invisible I. The awareness of invisible I is the light which dispels the belief in good and evil. Very interesting. Yes, you can't do it, but as you stand still, stock still, whether you drop it or whether you just stop, or whether you, as Joel, take a breath and let it out, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, and remain silent. It's going to take an absence of self for awareness to reveal itself. And then when the light shines, the darkness disappears. And so spiritual awareness melts belief. Spiritual awareness melts concept. He uttered his voice, the earth melteth. Yes, spiritual awareness, he uttered his voice, you became aware, suddenly awareness dawned, you could see for an instant the omnipresence of I, and then beliefs, concepts, belief in good and evil melts. All right, here's a little bit longer one. June 15th, 2009. There was quite a few realizations in 2009. That's good. Now, but there are sometimes 2 years goes by and there's not a single entry in here. See, we're looking at 2009, and then the next one is 2012. What happened in those 3 years? I don't know. It took that long before the next, what felt like an earth-shattering realization, took place. And now 2012 jumps to 2014. 2014, there's only one entry. It jumps to 2015. Last year. And now, this year, there is, what, 3 entries. So you see, these realizations don't happen every day. I'm not sharing with you from out of a book I read. I'm sharing with you the pearl of great price that takes me sometimes 3 years of digging and practicing before I come into this realization. And I hope you take it seriously. All right, so now in June 15th of 2009, truth entertained in consciousness becomes the substance of body, business, home, life. But truth entertaining consciousness is not a statement of truth in the mind. It's not a thought about truth. Make that distinction. Yes, maybe make it extinct. That would be nice. If we could make all statements of truth in the mind extinct, then we would have the distinction of knowing the difference between thoughts and truth, real truth. So, let's start again. Truth entertained in consciousness becomes the substance of body, business, home, life. But truth entertained in consciousness is not a statement of truth in the mind, and not a thought about truth. Truth entertained in consciousness happens. It happens to you. It happens when all thought about truth comes to an end. Into that silence, truth announces itself. I am the truth. That was in June of 2009. Coming to the realization, the inner earth-shattering realization, that every time Joel said truth entertained in consciousness is the substance of body, business, home, and life, he was not referring to truth entertained in mind. Truth entertained in consciousness is not a statement of truth in the mind, not a thought about truth. No, all those are taking place in world mind. I'm sorry, I know it's not very pleasant to think of, but thoughts about truth and entertaining statements of truth in the mind, that's all taking place on a mental level and won't change anything. Real truth, the truth, I truth entertained in consciousness, that is, you're given the awareness of I am the truth, that happens to you when all thought about truth in your mind comes to an end. And so into that silence, truth announces itself. You don't announce it, it announces itself. It happens to you.